الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wal aakibatu lil muttaqin wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al Majid wal Furqan al Hamid ba'd a'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, elders and brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, leader, mentor, and our guide, Nabiyya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, the two well-known economic systems in the world are capitalism and socialism. Capitalism affirms an absolute and unconditional right to private property. Socialism totally denies the right to private property. In capitalism, everyone works for his own wealth, while in socialism, everyone works for wealth which is distributed equally to everyone. Now, the Islamic economic system is between these two extremes. What does Allah say? Allah says, "Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah." Allah says that Allah has purchased, Allah has made a transaction, subhanAllah. Look at the words of Allah. Allah has purchased, Allah has made a transaction, and Allah has purchased the wealth and the lives and the properties of the believers in exchange for Jannah. SubhanAllah. Islam admits the right to private property, but does not consider it to be an absolute and unconditional right. Friends, the real owner of our wealth is Allah Jalla wa'ala. The real owner of everything we own is Allah Jalla wa'ala. Me and you, we hold this wealth in trust. So Islam admits the right to private property, but does not consider it an absolute right. In capitalism, money is earned for personal satisfaction. In socialism, money is earned for the welfare of the working class. In Islam, money is earned for success in this dunya and akhirah. What the term in Arabic is called falah. You know, when you say hayya ala al-falah, what does it mean? Come to success. So Allah uses the word falah in the Quran. So money is used as falah in this world. Money is used to fulfill our needs in this world and to attain salvation in the year after through expanding some of that wealth in charity. Islam regards the interest of society above the interest of an individual. Money should therefore not be hoarded for the detriment of society. Therefore, in order to ensure a continuous distribution of wealth in Islam, Islam has suggested a long-term, sustainable distribution of wealth like we have in the time of the Khulafa. And inshallah, Allah show us the day in the time of Khilafat, we have the Baytul Mal system, where the distribution of wealth is consistent. And the second, Islam has prescribed the Islamic law of inheritance. Now, what is the Islamic law of inheritance? Basically, it is the distribution of inherited wealth
amongst the largest number of persons on the basis of the widest margin of relationship. Now, my respected elders and friends, one is, you know, the voluntary charity, what we call a sadaqah lillah. Now, this type is defined, what is charity? It is defined as giving something to somebody without seeking a substitute in return for the pleasure of Allah. That is the definition of charity. So you're giving something to somebody without seeking a substitute in return. For who you're doing it? For the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Alameen. If you're doing it for any other motive, then you're not giving charity, you're doing business. If you're expecting something in return, then you're not giving charity, you're doing business. Nevertheless, the Nabi of Allah said, the believer's shade on the day of judgment is his charity. You and I know, on a hot day, when we go to a parking bay, the first place we look for is the shade. Where can I park my car? Even if it's a minute amount of shade, even there's little shade somewhere in the corner, we'll go and park our car there. Why? So it mustn't heat up. Now that is the sun of this dunya. Now imagine the sun that will be hovering around our heads on the day of Qiyamah, which will cause insan to drown in his own perspiration. Imagine how much of shade we'll need on that day. And every Friday we make this announcement for your benefit and for my benefit. So nevertheless, that shade that you will read the most on the day of Qiyamah will be your charity. The Nabi of Allah also said that the upper hand that gives is better than the lower hand that receives. And one important point is that we should always start with our dependence. When it comes to charity, whether voluntary or whether compulsory, always start with your dependence. The second form of charity is that which is compulsory, which you and I call zakat. And that is our topic of discussion today. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their wealth, right. Allah says, in the wealth that you have, there is a recognized right for who? For the needy and for the one who is deprived. The first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, had declared war on those tribes who refused to pay their zakah. Somebody told him, you know, oh Abu Bakr, go easy on the guys. The Nabi of Allah has just passed on. These people are sensitive. Try to draw them to Islam. Don't declare war. Go a bit easy. What did he say? He reasoned that Sharia cannot be divided and one cannot follow one part of the holy book and cast the other part aside. Allah's law is Allah's law. Nevertheless, what are the objectives of zakat, friends? Let us analyze this in this few minutes that we have. The first objective when I pay my zakat is purification. Zakat is not considered a favor that is given by the rich to the poor. No. It is the right of the poor on the wealth of the rich. Friends, withholding zakat is considered depriving the poor of their due share. The one who gives his zakat, he purifies his wealth by separating that portion which belongs to the poor. That is why the Nabi of Allah, Allah instructs the Nabi of Allah in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. That, O Nabi of Allah, take from their wealth, from that charity by which they are able to purify their wealth. So, zakah is a form of purification from sin. Zakah washes the wealth of all the evil that is in there, and it washes away the sin and impurities, just like salah washes the sin and impurities of a person. The second is the purification of the heart. Zakah engenders love for the poor, and it purifies the heart from greed, from stinginess, and from selfishness. Man generally is greedy, and his thirst for more and more material gains are never satisfied, are never satiated. That is why the Nabi of Allah said, even if he was given a valley of gold, he would have wished he had two. And even if he had two, he would have wished he had three. And nothing is going to fill his belly except sand. So that is the natural inclination of man. So by giving charity, whether voluntarily or compulsory, a person rids himself of this spiritual disease. Why? Because it is a journey from the inside to the outside. You're removing the journey of greed, which is in the inside, and you're distributing it to the outside. He learns to come to terms. He learns to come out of the race of personal interest for the benefit and the outcome of other human beings. He extends financial help to the poor and needy. It cleanses him from avarice. It cleanses him from selfishness and miserliness. وَمَنْ يُكَّ شَحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ And whoever is saved from miserliness, from avarice and from selfishness, such are those who are successful. So purification, that is the first and most important objective of zakah. Number two, enrichment. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ That which you give in zakah, seeking Allah's countenance, has increased manifold. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully enunciates this to support this ayah of the Quran, where the Nabi of Allah said, when a slave pays zakat, the angels of Allah pray for him in these words. SubhanAllah. And in any form of charity, muhaddiseen have written zakah as well as other forms of charity. When a person spends, not taking into consideration his personal interests, but the interests of those who are less fortunate than him, then the angels make dua for him that, O Allah, grant abundance to him who spend in your cause, and O Allah, destroy him who does not spend and restricts his wealth to himself. This is the dua of the angels. Nevertheless, my respected elders and friends, the Nabi of Allah also said, I take an oath on three things. The wealth of a person does not decrease on account of charity. Number one. No person who is oppressed makes sabr except Allah will assist him. And no person opens the door to begging except Allah will destroy him. So the point is, you know what amazes me the most is, that despite the less that our pious predecessors had in the past, our forefathers, yet they were so particular. I remember there was always a tin, a charity tin. And the first thing in the morning they did was they took out their sadaqah. That is the first thing they did. And you've seen the barakah that Allah placed in their homes, their dastarkhan was always full. Wallah, friends. People used to come and go from their houses, but there was never shortage of food. Why? The table used to be always laid down for visitors. People used to come in and out of the house and into the shop and out of the shop. Why? They were so particular with their charity. And Allah made it such that Allah never made them despondent or dependent on anybody. They always had food on their table. They grew up 8 and 10 children. Besides their own, their nephews and their nieces and their uncles' children and everybody stayed with them. Where did that come from? That came from the barakah of the wealth that Allah had given them. Number three is the protection. Zakah is never intermingled with any other wealth without destroying and rotting it. If zakat is not paid, it will attract disaster. It will attract ruin. It will attract failure. Whenever any amount of wealth is destroyed in the land or sea, it was because zakah was not paid on it. The fourth one is upliftment. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ Allah gives the categories of people that should be given the zakah. Zakah is a distinct form of charity in a contemporary society. It seeks to relieve people from unsettled debts. It also provides the necessary financial aid for the wayfarer and for the different categories of people. And last and not least is the circulation of wealth. Zakat bridges the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. In capitalistic economies, we see that wealth accumulates into a few hands. In the capitalistic world, you will find wealth rotating just in a few hands. And the condition of the poor further and further and further deteriorates. And it's happening today in the world. You have the have and you have the have nots. There's nothing left in between. The rich are ultra rich and the poor is extremely poor. Nevertheless, one purpose of zakah is to avoid such social disparity. The basic purpose of zakah is to maintain economic balance in society so that circulation of wealth continues from the rich to the poor and never stays in one hand. My respected elders and friends, these are some of the points of zakah. You need to understand that mine and your need to spend in the path of Allah, whether in the form of our obligatory zakah, which normally people take out in the month of Ramadan for two reasons. One is that it is easier to calculate your zakah on a lunar year. So generally people say every year on the 10th of Ramadan I take out my zakat, or on the 15th of Ramadan, or the 15th of Shawwal. So it is easier to work out every year on a lunar year basis. And the second, of course, we know the rewards 27 times and 70 times greater for every fard act. Although it is not necessary to be taken out only in Ramadan, but because of these two reasons people do take out their zakat in Ramadan. Also, another important point, there are many categories that go to zakah. There are approximately, the fuqaha and the jurists have written, there are 8 categories. That is your cash on hand, all the cash, your gold, your zakah on gold, silver, your zakah on your debtors, creditors, on stock on hand for trading, transactions, on your investments, on zakah on mining, on zakah on farming. So there are approximately 8 categories of people, or 8 categories that need to be considered when you are taking out your zakah. If you are unsure, check with your local ulama, because you don't want to shortchange Allah. Definitely. That's one person. One being, you don't want to shortchange. I would rather say give extra than to shortchange Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other important aspect, my friends, is when you make intention to give zakah, is have this in your mind, that, oh Allah, my need to give and my need to spend in your path will always be greater than the need for those who are receiving. Remember that. My need to spend, because Allah, when I spend, you give me more. That is the promise of Allah. O son of Adam, spend, Allah says. O son of Adam, spend and I will spend on you. So Allah says, when you give, I will give you more. The second one is, if one giving charity knew that his charity falls in the hand of Allah before the poor, the delight of one giving would be more than the delight of one receiving. SubhanAllah. So the delight, you know how Allah accepts it, you will be more satisfied than the person even receiving. And it is not possible to take your wealth with you, friends. We know we can't take our wealth with. We cannot take it with, although there is that case of that one person who tried to take his wealth with. He was very stingy with his money, don't? And he never used to spend. So he made a wasiyat in his will, told his wife that I don't want you to have none of my money. It all belongs to me. He told his wife that when I die, you must bury me with my money. So now what are they going to do? Can't put all his tijori with him, his kabar. So the wife said, okay. She went to one alim, went to Maulana Ravid. She asked him, how can I work this whole masla out? So he said, all right, write out a check. Write a check. So she wrote out a check for 15 million rand. And she put it in his kafan, 15 million bars. He's taking with him in his kabar. And they buried him. So after a few days, somebody asked the wife, and she said, now you gave him all the money. How are you going to live? He said, you can't use it. Don't worry, man. I gave him a post-date check. The check will bounce. He won't be able to cash it up in the cupboard. So we can't take our wealth with us, friends. But what we can do, it is possible that we can send it before we go. Understand that? We can't take our wealth with us, but it is possible that we can send it upstairs before we reach there. So understand that may the Almighty grant us the ability to appreciate this institution of charity. It is such a great institution, this zakat and this charity that we spend, and how we close the gap of disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And last but not least, friends, with a very heavy heart, you know, every year the occupiers of Palestine, they try their tricks in Ramadan. Every year, for some reason or the other, they trouble our Palestinian brothers. Make dua for me, friends. Get up for tahajjud and say, Allah, this one tahajjud namaz that I'm going to make is only for my Palestinian brothers. There was a group that left 2 days ago. They sent me a message. They say, Mawlana, lots of duas requested. At the moment, things are very bad and volatile at the moment. And every year in Ramadan, they do this. Every year. And those people are standing up to the resistance of these occupiers. What must be their stages in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Me and you got so easier, we got it so easier. They don't know whether they make sahri at home, whether they're going to be back for iftar. Make lots of dua. Allah liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah. Allah liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, and Allah give it back, and Allah create a Salahuddin Ayyubi in our ummah, inshallah. Who will liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah. Wa akhir. الحمد لله الذي أسعد وأشقى وأمات وأحيا وأضحك وأبكى وأوجد وأفنى وأفقر وأغنى وأضر وأقنى ثم خصص بعض عباده باليسر والغنى ثم جعل الزكاة للدين أساسا ومبنى وبين أن بفضله تزكى من عباده من تزكى ومن غناه زكى ماله من زكى أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله والمصطفى وسيد الورى وشمس الهدى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه المخصوصين بالعلم والتقى أما بعد فإن الله تعالى جعل الزكاة إحدى مباني الإسلام وأردف بذكرها الصلاة التي هي أعلى الأنعام فقال الله تبارك وتعالى وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لرجل تخرج الزكاة من مالك فإنها طهرة تطهرك وتصلي أقرباءك وتعرف حق المسكين والجار والسائل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وبقية الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوك بهم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا اللهم ربي اغفر وارحم اللهم ربي اغفر وارحم اللهم ربي اغفر وارحم اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة. Let us ensure ourselves are safe, shoulder to shoulder, standing in line with our heels, and ensure that all the gaps are filled in. And once again, we make a humble appeal. As we had so mentioned in our lecture, the great rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for charity, and more so to spend in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spend in the madrasa, where so many good actions are taking place, inshallah, all this, no matter how much we spend, but inshallah, the benefit of it will reach us in this dunya and in the akhirah. So in this month of Ramadan, we make a humble appeal to one and all, inshallah, to spend generously, open your hearts and your wallets in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Allah will give you immense barakah in your wealth, inshallah. لا حول ولا قوة الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة أقابل الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله
لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن وما يخفى على الله من شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب الله
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله
اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد واله الف الف مره ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم انا نسالك العفو والعافيه اللهم انا نسالك رضاك والجنه ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم انا نسالك من كل خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.